I'll tell them." Horst staggered into the jungle with Jay beside him, her big shoulder bag knocking against her legs. He managed another 50 meters through the inimical vines and undergrowth, then sank panting painfully to his knees, face perilously red and hot. "Are you all right?" Jay asked anxiously.
"Yes, we'll just have to take it in short stages, that's all. I think we're safe for now."
She opened the shoulder bag seal. "I brought your cooler flask. I thought you might need it. I filled it with high-vitamin orange juice you had in your room." "Jay, you are a 24-carat angel." He took the flask from her and drank some of the juice. She had set the thermostat so low it poured like slushy snow. They heard someone pushing their way through the undergrowth behind them and turned. It was Russ and Andrea, the first of the children. Trudging across the savannah wasn't quite the holiday Jay had told herself it would be, but it was lovely being away from the homestead, even if it was only going to be for a few hours. She longed to ride the horse, too, though there was no way she was going to plead with Father Horst in front of the boys. They arrived at the Rutten family's old homestead after 40 minutes walking. Untended, it had suffered from Lalonde's rain and winds. The door which had been left open had swung to and fro until the hinges broke, and now it lay across the small porch. Animals, probably Sace, had used it for shelter at some time, adding to the disarray inside. Jay waited with the two boys while Father Horst went in, carrying his laser hunting rifle, and checked over the three rooms. The abandoned cabin was eerie after the noise and bustle of their own homestead. She heard a distant rumble and looked up, thinking it was approaching thunder. But the sky remained a perfect basin of blue. The noise grew louder, swelling out of the west. Father Horst emerged from the homestead, carrying a wooden chair. "It sounds like a space plane," he said. The grimed window panes were rattling in their frames. Jay searched the sky frantically as the sun began to fade into the east, but there was nothing to be seen. The space plane was too high. She gave the distant mountains to the south a forlorn glance. It must have been going to the Tyraska farmers, she thought. "Have a hunt round," Horst said. "See if you can find anything useful. You might try the barn as well. I'm going to the roof to cut the solar cell sheets down." He put the chair down under the eaves and stood on it, squirming his way up onto the roof. There was nothing much in the cabin. Fans of grey fungus had established a foothold in the cracks between the planks, and greenish ripples of mould patterned the damp mattresses. She pulled a couple of clay mugs out from under one of the beds, and Russ found some shirts in a box below the kitchen workbench. "They'll be all right once we wash them," Jay declared, holding up the smelly, soiled garments. They had more luck in the barn. 2 sacks of protein concentrate cakes used to feed young animals that had just come out of hibernation, and Mills discovered a small fishing blade saw behind a pile of old cargo pods. "Good work," Horst told them as he clambered down. "And look what I got. All 3 sheets. We'll be able to heat the water tanks up in half the time now." Jay rolled up the solar cell sheets while he lifted the sacks into the plough horse's big saddlebags. Horst handed round his chill flask full of icy Elwisey juice, then they set off again. Jay was glad of her hat. The sunlight was scorchingly hot on her arms and back, air rippled and shimmered all around. "I never thought I'd miss the rains." There was a river to cross before they reached the Soberg's homestead. It was less than 1 meter deep, but about 15 meters wide. A fast, steady flow from the mountains, winding in broad curves along the savannah's gentle contours. The bottom was smooth rock and rounded pebbles. Snow-lily plants were growing right across it, their long fronds waving in the current. Flower buds as big as her head bobbed on the surface, the first splits starting to appear in their sides. Jay and Horst took their boots off and waded across, clinging to the side of the horse. The water was invigorating, numbing her toes. She could easily believe it must have come directly from the snow peaks themselves. She wouldn't have been surprised to see nuggets of ice bobbing about. After she sat on the bottom of the bank and dried her feet, she thought she could walk for another 100 kilometers. Her skin was still tingling delightfully when they started up the bank. They had been walking for another 10 minutes when Horst held up his hand. "Mills, Russ, come down off the horse," he said with quiet insistence. The tone he used set up an uncomfortable prickling along Jay's spine. "What is it?" she asked. "The Soberg's homestead, I think." She peered over the tops of the wavering grass stems. There was something up ahead, a white silhouette against the indistinct horizon, but the sun-roiled air made it hard to tell exactly what.